It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host today. I'm reading today from Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans, a great book in the New Testament. And it begins with my favorite word, therefore. It always means he's going to say something heavy. Therefore means stop and see what it's there for. Look at what I said before, and here's my point. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Friend, do you have peace with God today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if something happened to you today, that you would go to heaven? If you don't, you can. You can. But we have to be justified through faith. Now, what does that big word justified mean? It's a religious word. We don't use it in our everyday language. But it literally means justified, never sinned. It's like a little baby that is born, and we look at that baby and it's innocent. That's the way God sees us when we're justified. He says, since we've been justified through faith, we now have peace with God. It takes a lot of faith to believe that you're justified, because you and I, no one knows our failures and our sin more than we know it ourselves. And through Jesus, we gain access by faith into this grace that covers all of our sins. Two concepts here, the law and grace. Under the law, you relate to God based on your performance. How good did you have to be? Jesus said, be ye perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Can we do it? No, not in ourselves. But under grace, you relate to God through Christ's performance, faith in what he did on the cross. And now Paul says, we're justified. How? By faith. It takes faith to believe that God sees you perfect, because our mind will condemn ourselves saying, you're not perfect. You're not even close. But faith says, God sees you holy because of what Jesus did and not because of what you do. It's not an easy concept to grasp. That's why it's called grace. See, in 1 John 3 and verse 21, very important verse, it says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Now, what's our hearts? It's our mind. It's our thoughts, our feelings, and our emotions. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, it tells us, it's a good thing for our hearts to be established in grace. So the one thing that's going to make your heart have faith and believe God, what he says, instead of what your mind would believe, is understanding the message of grace. It frees us up to have confidence when we approach God. See, back in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, it said, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for you to get it all together before he sent his son. He sent his son Jesus to die for you, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This is a wonderful concept of grace in these three verses. We were powerless, we were still sinners, and Christ still died for us. Remember the definition of sin? Sin is falling short of anything less than perfection. It's to miss the mark. And in verse 9, he says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's when God has a relationship with us, and we have a relationship with God because Jesus reconciled us. He did it by taking our sin. Now here comes the clincher that brings this whole concept together. In verse 12, therefore, that favorite word again, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. See, churches that preach the law and this system of performance-based salvation, they're really only setting people up for failure. It'll arouse that sinful passion and your flesh will rebel against it. But when you're introduced to grace and God's unconditional love, the only way you can respond is to love God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul makes a shocking statement. He says this in verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. See, this is Paul under grace. He knows that no longer is he relating to God out of those 613 laws the Jews had to keep. Now, he's relating to God through Christ's death on the cross. This is why we can't go around judging people, saying who's a Christian and who's not. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul said this. He said, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We still use the word of God to teach and to correct us, to train us in righteousness. You see, when it comes to the sin question, there really is no question. No matter how long you've been saved, you're still going to fail. You're still going to trespass, whatever you want to call it. But how does God see us? In Romans 6:14, he said, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law, you're under grace. So point one established, we are under grace and not the law. Next, what did Romans 5:13 tell us? For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account where there is no law. What does that mean, sin is not taken into account? You see, your sin, past, present, and future, has been cast as far as the east is from the west. You see, friend, grace is not an excuse for sloppy living. It's actually the empowerment to overcome and begin to defeat sin in our life that we often struggle with. I love Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God that brings us salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Did you hear that? Grace teaches us to say no. Did you know that it's impossible to rebel against grace? What is there to rebel against? God loves you anyway. He loves you unconditionally. So the only way you can respond is by loving him back. When you begin to grasp the message of grace in your heart, it'll produce a righteous life inside of you that God desires. See, in Romans 7 and verse 4, Paul said this. He said, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Do you know God wants us to be fruitful? He wants us to be leading others to him and sharing the gospel with this world that's lost and so desperately needs God. He said in verse 5, for when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, that's sin, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Let me tell you what's so amazing about grace. Under grace, you serve God because you want to. Under grace, I don't give because the law says I have to. I give because I have the privilege of giving to God. He has blessed me. Under grace, I don't love people because I have to. I love them because God first loved me, and I get the privilege of loving these people back. See, verse 5 says, "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law." Did you get that? Preaching legalism and the law and that system of relating to God based on your performance, you know what it does? It produces rebellion. But when you understand grace and you teach grace, all you can do is respond in love. Verse 20 said, "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Notice the law was never given to declare men righteous. The Bible says if righteousness could be obtained by the law, Christ died for nothing. It was given so that the trespass might increase. God wanted to show the Jewish people, by giving them the law, that they needed a Savior. He wanted to show them that in themselves they could never be good enough, so he gave them the law to show them just how many times they would fail. Notice God outgraced their sin. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. And verse 21 says, "So just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, friend, there are really only two ways you can relate to God. You can relate to him through your performance. That's the law. That system of relating to God based on how good you are. You'll never be good enough. Or you can relate to him the other way, which is through grace. Under grace, I relate to God through Christ's performance on the cross. What he did for me. And then, how does God see me? Totally perfect, blameless. See, the Bible said God made him who knew no sin to become sin for me, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, so many times we hear the phrase, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." But really, friend, God either sees you as a sinner or he sees you saved by grace. Remember, sin means to miss the mark or to fall short. Here's what it boils down to. In the flesh, you're going to always fall short. Hopefully you grow more. The more you grow, the less you sin. But in the spirit, you're justified. No more falling short, because God now sees you holy and blameless, not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did for you. That's why the Apostle John wrote, "He that is born of God cannot continue to sin." Why? Because no longer do you fall short in God's eyes. He doesn't see you based on your performance. He sees you based on what Jesus did for you. Now let's finish Romans 5 today here. Verse 18 says, "Consequently, just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men." See, we are all made sinners by the first man, Adam. By the fact that Adam sinned, it made all of us born sinners. But because of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, all our sins can now be forgiven by receiving him and accepting him and what he did on the cross. I know it's a heavy thing to think that God could give you this state of perfection and this state of being righteous before him as a free gift. But friend, that's really what it all boils down to. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God loved you so much that he did the heavy lifting. He sent his Son to the cross to pay for every wrong thing you'll ever do. And today, he allowed you to be listening to this program. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, call out to him today. Just say, "God, I believe what Keith said today. I believe you died for my sins, and I just receive you right now, ask you to forgive me and to make me a new person in you, and your life will change." Thanks for joining me today, friend. God loves you. He really does.
Thanks for joining us today for